another murder mystery with David Threlfall as Paolo Baldi in Baldi.
There you are, Dr.
Baldi.
Hello. Your timekeeping's not going to get any better. It's at 6 o'clock on the invitation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't quite caught up with these social nuances. I understood the polite custom was to arrive at a party half an hour after the time on the invitation.
Not when you're one of its hosts.
I'm one of its hosts.
And this party is to celebrate the Jack Matthews Memorial Lecture.
This, which is being given by Dr. Allen, head of Irish Literature. Surely that's nothing to do with the philosophy department.
Well, it's an occasion that concerns everyone in all of the humanities departments.
Oh, you mean there's fundraising involved?
Exactly. You're catching on to the priorities of this university. Come on, Dr. Baldi. You better meet our principal guest.
I never thought to keep the family involved in the care of that artistic heritage.
Oh, I'm sure you're right, Professor Brighton.
I'm sorry, if I may just butt in here.
Of course, Dr. Brighton.
Professor Brighton, I'd like to introduce one of my colleagues. This is Dr. Paolo Baldi, Professor Warwick Brighton from the St. Ignatius University in Illinois.
How do you do, Professor?
Great pleasure to make your acquaintance.
And Dr. Baldi, you've met Dr. Philip Trent from the Literature Department, haven't you?
Not properly, but we've seen each other around.
Hi.
Hello. Philip, could I just steal you away for a quick word?
Oh, of course.
So when will the lecture begin, precisely, Dr. Graham?
I'm sure it won't be long. If you'll excuse me.
Philip. Yes.
I'm very much looking forward to this evening, Dr. Baldi. Apparently, Professor Allen has had access to some new information. Anyway, from all accounts I gather, he's worth seeing in his own right. Something of a character.
One of the last licensed eccentrics of academia.
Well, at St. Ignatius, let me tell you, we've a lot of Jack Matthews fans. Hence the interest in the archive.
Archive?
Well, surely you know that your university holds the largest Jack Matthews collection in the world.
No, I'm sorry.
What is your subject, Dr. Baldi?
Philosophy.
Oh, well.
Will you excuse me? I'm being summoned.
Of course.
Yes, Dr. Graham.
Baldi, you have met Mary Matthews, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Mary is the granddaughter of the great Jack Matthews himself.
Right. An honour to meet you.
You too, Dr. Baldi.
She and I regularly meet as trustees of the Jack Matthews estate. I represent the university. It used to be Professor Allen in that role, but...
Not the easiest of men to get along with. He seems to take pleasure in starting feuds and vendettas.
Where's Professor Allen got to?
Well, I passed his study as I was going to the ladies' room. This college, the ladies' room, always seems to be miles away from everywhere. He had his lecture all over the desk and was just checking it through. He said he'd be down in a couple of minutes.
And how long goes that?
Quarter of an hour, I suppose.
Professor Allen's not in the library, Dr. Graham.
He must still be in his room. Dr. Trent, could I impose on you to go up there and drag him down here bodily?
I'll try, though he's never been that keen on taking orders from his juniors. Why don't you come too, Dr. Baldi? You'll probably take more notice of someone from another department.
Well, philosophy might succeed where mere language fails.
Wouldn't be the first time, would it?
So, Philip, you don't know much about Jack Matthews either.
No, my speciality is 18th century English literature. Henry Fielding and the origin of the novel.
You can get all the material you need for that here in Dublin.
Oh, no problem at all. Mind you, I may not be here much longer. Good chance of my getting a research fellowship in Oxford.
Oh, which college?
Paul's Close.
Oh, well done.
I haven't quite got it yet. I'd be glad if it does come through, though.
Mr. Brennan. Dr. Trent, I was just... I didn't want to be late for the lecture. See you down there.
Who was that?
J.T. Brennan, author of the definitive biography of Jack Matthews.
Which I'm afraid I haven't read. Still, perhaps Dr. Allen's lecture will kindle my enthusiasm for the subject.
I doubt it. His room's just up here.
Answer came there, none.
Oh, my God, what's this? Dr. Allen.
He's left. Let me see. Smith. He's got no pulse. He's dead.
He's been killed. Murdered.
Look.
It's a paper knife. Yeah. He always had it on his desk. Oh, this is terrible. What are we doing now?
Get the guardie first. And now don't touch the phone. Go down and tell Dr. Graham first. Get him to call the guardie. If we're to have any chance of catching whoever did this, we've got to leave the scene untouched. All right.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we should do, isn't it? There's something odd here.
Well, Yes, indeed.
No, I mean about the desk.
What about it?
It's got my papers on it.
And?
Mary Matthews told me she saw Professor Allen a couple of minutes ago and he was up to his neck in papers, and I quote...
Well, he isn't now, is he?
Yes, indeed.
Well, go and tell Dr. Graham what's happened and get the guardie.
Yes.
Poor chap. He's not any patris, if Philly is big or something.
Are you Dr. Graham?
I am, yes.
Detective Inspector Mann from the Guardian.
This is a terrible thing to have happened. Right here on university premises.
Terrible. Where's the body?
Upstairs. This is Dr. Trent. He'll show you.
Good evening.
Hello.
Dreadful business.
Yes. Now, if you could show me the way, Dr. Trent.
Yeah, of course.
Anyone could have come up here in the time since you found the body.
No. My colleague stayed on guard.
Oh, good.
Well, here he is. Dr. Baldy.
Good evening.
I don't know.
You've met?
Yes.
Well, I'd better go back and give Dr. Graham moral support.
Well, Paolo.
Yes, very good to see you again.
You too.
Though not perhaps in ideal circumstances.
No. Any ideas who might have wanted to kill him?
Well, according to his reputation around the university, it could be anyone who'd met him.
And who was it he was about to lecture on?
Jack Matthews.
Name means nothing to me, should it?
Well, not unless Irish literature is your special subject, no. Contemporary of Yeats, a minor cult figure here, and also in America, apparently. His most famous poem was The Favourite Sons of Erin.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar. So where is the lecture he was about to deliver?
Ah, very good. Definitely the first question that should be asked.
Oh, is that another of your semiotic signs?
Well, in a way. Though, in this case, it's the absence of the sign that's important. You know, the dog that didn't bark in the night.
Presumably there'll be a copy of the lecture on his computer. Unless the murderer wiped that too.
Well, Professor Allen hated the new technology. Still wrote everything in longhand. Using a fountain pen and sepia ink.
Oh. Yeah. All those scraps of dirty old envelopes sticking out of the books, yeah.
Well, I assume that's how he marked his references.
Yes. Transactions of the Society of Irish Prosodists. Volume 23.
Very good. Always more to books than meets the eye. They may look similar from the outside, but their contents could prompt laughter, tears, sedition, revolution, even murder.
Are you referring to one specific book?
Yes, look at...
It's all right. I'm here, man. I'll take charge now. This is a bloody one, isn't it?
Superintendent Wren. Do you remember meeting Dr. Baldy?
Oh, no. You're the philosopher, aren't you?
I am.
Well, on your way then, Doctor. Come on, move yourself. Is there anything in the world less helpful than philosophy at a murder scene?
No philosophy at a murder scene. Goodbye. Good luck with your investigation.
Strange, isn't it, Paolo? How quickly the shock of Alan's death has been absorbed. Initial hysteria, and then 4 days later everyone seems to have forgotten the old sort.
Well, the police are presumably still investigating his murder, though, so...
Oh, yes. Have you got any idea where their suspicions might currently be pointing?
Why'd you ask me?
Oh, I thought you might have got the odd snippet of information from your friendly guard inspector.
No, I don't know her that well. She's sadly going to confide professional secrets in me.
Oh, pity.
Why?
Oh, I just like whodunits. So, Paolo, if you do find out you topped the old boy after I've gone, let me know, won't you?
After you've gone? Oh, the old soul's job.
Looking more promising by the minute. Just checking the last of my records.
Oh, that's nice. Congratulations, Philip.
Thanks. But anyway, who at this moment do you reckon dumped?
Well, so far as opportunity for murdering Professor Allen goes, Mary Matthews is probably the last person to see him alive.
Or J.T. Brennan. We did see him scurrying away from the scene of the crime, didn't we?
Yes.
Looking pretty flustered.
Yes, but what would either of their motives be?
Maybe there was something in Professor Allen's lecture that challenged J.T. Brennan's authorised version of the life of Jack Matthews.
And would make nonsense of his biography.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good thought.
Warwick, dear fellow, do come through. Dr. Baldy and Dr. Trent will look after you just while I go into my office. Excuse me, won't be a moment.
Oh, of course, come and join us, Professor.
Thanks.
Will you have a glass of wine?
No. I'm about to be lunched by Dr. Graham at Le Coq Hardy.
Oh, you're celebrating something.
We most definitely are. Dr. Graham and I have just agreed terms for the purchase of the Jack Matthews Archive by St. Ignatius University.
Oh, congratulations. So all the archive will go over to Illinois?
Yeah, the whole lot. The manuscripts, the letters, his library, everything in fact except the stuff that's on display in the Jack Matthews house here in Dublin.
Oh, I didn't know there was a Jack Matthews house.
Oh, yes. It's run as a museum by his granddaughter, Mary Matthews. She lives in a flat in the basement and organizes the guided tours.
I'm interested in that.
Right, Mark, we can be on our way.
Yeah. A pleasure to meet you,
Jim. Yes, you too.
I hope you'll look me up if you're ever in my part of the world.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, you may think you've tasted lobster before, Mark, but let me tell you the way the Concord Eagle is.
Well, they both seem very pleased with themselves.
Pair of Cheshire cats. I'm surprised the smiles aren't still here in the room with us.
Still, no doubt, a few more very welcome dollars for the university.
A few hundreds of thousands of them, I imagine.
Yeah. What?
I was just thinking about what you suggested, that Professor Allen's lecture contains something to challenge the orthodox view of Jack Matthews.
Yes.
Well, you know, if that's right, and if the lecture had been delivered, then the sale of the archive to St. Ignatius might not have gone through.
I suppose not.
So ensuring that the lecture never was delivered, well, that could be a pretty good motive for murder.
What do you want?
I'm sorry to intrude, but you are Mr. J.T. Brennan, aren't you?
That's who I am.
I was told I might find him this far. But may I sit down?
Mm.
Thank you. I'm afraid I know virtually nothing about Jack Matthews.
Then I suggest you read My Favourite Son of Erin. The Life of Jack Matthews was published 1973. And still the definitive work on the subject.
I surely will. I look forward to it.
And if you do the tour of the Jack Matthews house...
Well, that's on my list.
Then you'll be able to buy a copy of the biography there. They have plenty of them. Though the book's out of print elsewhere.
Mm. Are you one of Jack Matthews' literary executives?
I am, and one of the trustees of the estate. There are three of us. Me, Mary Matthews, the great man's granddaughter, and Dr. Graham, who represents the university.
Ah, yes, my boss. So, I assume you've heard about the sale of the Jack Matthews archive to St. Ignatius.
Of course I have.
Well, you don't sound so upset about it.
I'm delighted. All the trustees are in favour of the sale. The money will be shared between the university and the estate. It means we'll be able to keep the Jack Matthews house going.
Oh, was it under threat?
Things were getting very tight.
But the St. Ignatius deal will ensure the house's future.
For my lifetime and Mary Matthews' lifetime, at least.
Oh, that's good, yeah. I suppose, you've no idea who might have killed Professor Allen.
You suppose correctly. And if you think after the interminable conversations I've had with the Guardian on that subject that I wish to talk further about it, then you're wrong.
Now, that's the end of the tour. But I hope you'll stop on your way out in the gift shop, where you'll find copies of Jack Matthews' work, as well as postcards, and a mug with the whole text of The Favourite Sons of Erin printed on it. I hope you've enjoyed the tour, and you'll tell all your friends about the Jack Matthews house.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Miss Matthews. I found that most interesting.
We've met, haven't we?
Yes, Dr. Paolo Baldi. I was at the university the night when Professor Allen...
Oh, yes. Dear, oh dear. God rest his soul.
Yes, indeed. That's very good news about the sale of the archive, though, isn't it?
Wonderful news. Yeah.
You don't mind the material going abroad?
No. So long as it means we don't have to sell this house.
Yeah, well, that's what matters, isn't it? And, of course, keeping the house must be doubly important for you, because this is your home, isn't it?
Yes. I live in the basement. And if you want to know whether I have to pay rent on that...
No, it wouldn't have occurred to me to ask.
I get my accommodation in consideration for the work I do on behalf of the estate.
You may
not think there's much to organising all these tours,
but... I'm sure there is, Miss Matthews. I'm sure it involves a great deal of hard work and... I appreciated this morning's tour enormously. Thank you. Maybe I will go and invest in one of those favourite sons of Erin mugs.
Oh, Father Boris, isn't that a fine mug you have there? Well, you like it?
Sure, that's a beautiful piece of work.
You don't think there's too much purple on it?
Oh, no. Oh, you can never have too much purple. Anyway, I'm not talking about the look of the thing. It's what it has written there. Oh, the favorite sons of Erin, marching onward, full of hope, bear aloft their mighty banners with the blessing of the Pope. Now, isn't that fine writing?
Well, I think it's meant to be ironic, Mrs. Reed. I didn't know you were a poetry lover.
I'm not. No, not all poetry by any means. I won't read that William Butler Yeats for a start.
Why not?
Some of that stuff of his was awful smutty. Golden Codgers and the like. But Jack Matthews? Well, that's a different thing altogether.
Oh, my goodness. Catholic.
What?
I am a Catholic.
Well, I hope so, Father Baldy.
And I never realized it.
Did you not?
No. No, don't worry about it, Mrs. Williams. No, I must go.
But I don't understand.
Well, it doesn't matter. Look, I tell you what, you have the mug.
No, it's yours. I couldn't take such a beautiful thing from you.
No, well, please, a Franciscan, I can't have possessions.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and it'd be a little thank you for setting my thoughts on the right track, reminding me that I am a Catholic.
Oh, dear, you're not having doubts, are you, Father?
No, I'm not.
And I put money on the fact that Professor Allen's lecture showed the late, great Jack Matthews to be a less-than-perfect representative of his faith.
Well, that would make sense. Allen was always virulently anti-Catholic.
Yes, Philip, and J.T. Brennan's biography emphasised what a good Catholic family man Jack Matthews was.
Well, it's all there in the poetry, isn't it? Mm. I mean, not just the favourite sons of Erin, but Podrick's Dream, The Fairy from the Loch. They're all imbued with Catholicism.
Yeah, oh, golly. If we could only find the lecture.
Of course, it's not just J.T. Brennan in the frame, is it? I mean, Mary Matthews is still a suspect, too.
And now we've got a motive for her. Lose her rent-free flat if the house had to be sold. I was just thinking. You know, when you left me in Alan's room, after we found the body, I looked at the books on his desk. I made a list of them. All about the Celtic Revival, Irish literature during the first half of the 20th century.
Well, exactly the stuff you'd be consulting for a lecture on Jack Matthews.
Yes, except for one book. The thin volume, bound in pinkish cloth, looked as if it could have been privately printed.
I thought you said not to touch anything.
No, I didn't. But I could see the book's title, Acid Violets. You ever heard of a book called Acid Violets that has anything to do with the Jack Matthews industry?
No, never. But then Jack Matthews isn't my special subject.
And you've no idea of the author's name, Dr. Baldy?
Sorry, Maureen, just the title.
Acid Violet. Change from your usual semiotics, anyway. Oh, and if the library doesn't have a copy?
Well, I'd still like any information you can get about the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was published, who published it, author's name, any information you can get about him.
Or her?
Or her, of course.
You mustn't underestimate women.
Well, I don't think there's ever any danger of my doing that, Maureen.
I'll give you a call then, Dr. Baldy.
Yes. Thank you.
Maybe I should draft more staff onto the case. What do you think, man?
It's not necessary, Superintendent. I'm getting there.
Well, we still don't have an arrest, though, do we?
Yeah, but we're close.
Mm.
Now, Professor Allen was murdered to stop him delivering his lecture, which might have prevented the sale of the Jack Matthews archive. The only two people who stood to benefit from that sale, and who were out of the senior common room at the relevant time, are Mary Matthews and J.T. Brennan.
Right.
Brennan seems a much more likely murderer. But I still haven't got any evidence.
And how do you propose to get some evidence?
I've applied for search warrant to go over J.T. Brennan's flat.
Very good, man. Excellent. Just what I would have done myself, in fact. You know, you're not just a pretty face, are you?
I beg your pardon?
No, sorry, it's just an idiomatic expression. It had no meaning at all.
I'm glad to hear it. And now, Superintendent, I do have some phone calls to make.
Yes, of course. Leave me to it, then.
Thank you. And if you would mind not... slamming the door.
Oh, Paolo Baldy.
Hi, this is Inspector Mahan. Tina.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm fine. Something I wanted to check with you about Professor Allen murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know you and Dr. Trent saw J.T. Brennan hurrying away from the scene of the crime?
Yes.
Was he carrying anything? Something inside his jacket, perhaps?
Something like a lecture written in sepia ink?
Something like that, yes.
Sorry, no obvious bulges under his jacket, no.
I was afraid you'd say that.
So J.T. Brennan remains your number one suspect?
You know I can't answer that.
Silly of me to ask. Did you get anywhere with my signs?
Signs?
You know, the books on Professor Allen's desk.
We had a look through them. You know, books about Jack Matthews, books of poetry.
Mm-hmm. Did you look in the one called Acid Violets?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't find anything in there that signified?
There might have been something to signify to you, not to me, I'm afraid. Look, our approaches to crime are very different. You can have all these wonderful thoughts in your head, and it doesn't matter whether you get the right answer or not. You know, I have to live in the real world, and my job depends on getting the right answer.
Well, maybe, but
I'm sorry, Paolo. Look, I've got some other calls to make.
Yes, of course, but I do have another look inside that book, because I really...
All right, I will. Goodbye, Paolo.
And the last one, Maureen, is the Transactions of the Society of Irish Prosodists, volume 23.
You are getting a long way away from semiotics now, aren't you?
I certainly am.
So basically it's only books from the library that have been taken out in Professor Allen's name.
Exactly.
Fine, Dr. Baldy. If there are copies in stock, you'll have them by the end of the day.
Bless you, Maureen.
But I'm afraid I couldn't find a copy of that one you asked me about before, Acid Violets. Very rare. Uh-huh. Privately printed in London in 1938. Limited edition of 200.
And what kind of book is it?
Thin volume of poems. But what makes it exceptional is that when the book was published, the poet was only 18 years old.
Is it someone who subsequently became famous?
Vivian Luscombe. Naming Anthony?
No. But why on earth was Vivian Luscombe be relevant to someone preparing a lecture on Jack Matthews?
Well, you could ask her.
What?
This is a research library. I've been doing a bit of sleuthing. Vivian Luscombe's still alive. Must be well into her 70s. Lives out in Galway. I've an address for her and a phone number.
Oh, Maureen, you're brilliant. Do you provide this first-class research service for everyone?
Oh, no, Dr. Baldy. Only for special people.
Oh, well.
The lady who wants to see you, she's very insistent that she be you personally. Name's Mary Matthews.
Good afternoon, Inspector.
Good afternoon, Miss Matthews. You can close the door. Do take a seat. Now, what can I do for you?
It's something I've found, Inspector Mahon. At the Jack Matthews house.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
We had a meeting of the trustees this morning. Then the cleaner came in, and I conducted a tour this afternoon. And it was after the tour I realized my notes for the meeting were missing. Well, the cleaner's a daft girl at the best of times, so I thought she might have thrown my papers away by mistake. And sure enough, in the bin at the back of the house, I found my stuff. Along with this.
Looks an ordinary enough folder.
It's the kind J.T. Brennan always uses. He was in the house for the trustees' meeting this morning.
Sepia ink. Am I right in thinking this is Professor Allen's missing lecture?
Good morning, Dr. Bowdy.
Morning.
Sit down by the fire.
That's very good of you to agree to see me, Mr. Luscombe.
Vivian. Everyone calls me Vivian.
Yes, I must confess.
You're expecting a woman. A lot of people do that. Rather careless of my parents giving me an androgynous name, wouldn't you say? Bound to lead to gender confusion in later life. Though amongst the many things my name did make me, androgynous was not one. Come on, do sit down.
Yes, thank you, Vivian. Lovely fire.
Nothing like a nice open fire, is there, Dr. Baldy? The body chills as you get older. Still, the fire helps. So does the nice young man who showed you in. Presumably you've come to talk about Jack Matthews.
Yes.
I knew I shouldn't have said anything to the first one. That poisonous, weaselly little academic.
Professor Daniel Allen.
That was the name, yes.
Did you hear that he'd been murdered?
No, I don't read the papers. Still, it sounds like excellent news. I can't think there was anyone who mourned him much.
Well, the loss of any human life is not...
Oh, shut up. Professor Allen was full of hatred. And life is for loving, not for hating.
Well, I would agree with that.
So, has your life been full of love?
It has, but perhaps not the kind of love you're talking about, given my profession.
Oh, dear. I'm getting a distinct whiff of celibacy here. Are you a father, or brother, or some non-participating family member?
I'm a Franciscan priest.
You poor sod.
And do you have any religion at all?
I was brought up a Catholic. Now I'm a lapsed agnostic.
Ah.
I found Catholicism too intrusive. I don't mind a religion providing me with generalized moral advice, but when it starts telling me what I should do in my own bedroom, it becomes both prurient and impertinent.
Well, you have a way with words. You still write?
No, I stopped that in my early 20s. Uh-huh. I realised that writing was a way of keeping living at arm's length, rather like religion. And I wanted to embrace living, hug it to death.
Which is what you've done.
I'd say so, yes.
And Jack Matthews?
He was my first lover. Our families had met out here in Galway, but Jack and I met in London, 1937 it was, at a literary party. That was when it started.
Mm-hmm. And Professor Allen had this information?
Some of it. This place costs a lot to run, and I'm getting to the end of my savings. So a few months ago I advertised some books for sale. Jack had given me quite a lot from his library, and because Professor Allen was a Jack Matthews fanatic, he came down here to see what I'd got.
Right, and the collection included a copy of Acid Violet?
Yes, the copy I'd given to Jack, in fact. He sent it back to me. Everyone assumed, you know, when the book came out that I was a woman. One review said, "The poems cannot be the work of one so young. They are written by someone who understands the joys and temptations of sensuality."
Exactly, how old were you when he first seduced you?
I did the seducing. He didn't know what he wanted. I did.
But you were underage?
In those days, it would have been illegal whatever age I was.
Oh, of course. And Professor Allen was going to put all this in his lecture, was he?
I think so. He swore he wouldn't mention my name. But I felt afterwards maybe I shouldn't have told him anything.
Well, unfair to Jack Matthews' memory.
I don't give a toss about Jack Matthews' memory. No. It was my privacy I was concerned about.
So why did you tell Professor Allen?
He'd worked most of it out already. There was a rather explicit inscription in the copy of Acid Violets I'd given to Jack. The words would have been intriguing, even if, as everyone had assumed, Vivian Luscombe was a woman. Once Professor Allen had met me, they became rather more than intriguing.
Mm. And from that moment, Jack Matthews' reputation was at risk?
Oh, yes. Mind you, it's just as well I didn't show Professor Allen the letters that Jack wrote me. If the dedication in the book is described as explicit, then a new word would have to be coined for the sentiments which he expressed.
And the books have been sitting here waiting for you to collect them, Dr. Baraldi.
Oh, thank you, Maureen. I'm sorry. I've been out of Dublin for a few days.
Well, one I couldn't get, though, because we only have the one copy of it, is that Proceedings of Oxford Literary Society, 1992-93.
What? Well, that wasn't on my list.
No, it wasn't on your list. But you asked me to try and find anything that was booked out to Professor Allen, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. I did. Of course. You're wonderful, Maureen.
Dr. Baraldi. You're not so bad yourself, you know.
Give it, Tori.
Father Baraldi.
You nearly gave me a heart attack, Father Troy, sidling out of the shadows like that.
I did not sidle. I walked.
Well, whatever. You gave me a shock.
Am I stopping you from going where you're going?
What?
This aisle leads down to the confessionals.
Were you going to confession, Paolo?
No, Father Troy. Well, all right, so what if I was? Last time we met, you accused me of not going to confession often enough.
And you countered by saying you didn't have anything to confess. Does this mean you now do have something to confess? Women?
I'm certainly coming into contact with more women than I did in my previous lives. But my confusion is not specifically about women. My reactions to them are more a symptom of my condition than the cause.
I think you'd better get yourself sorted out very quickly. The church will be very reluctant to let you go. She seems to have this idea you're one of her shining lights, and that at the moment you're hiding that light under the bushel of teaching philosophy.
Oh. Yes. Thank you, Father Troy.
What have I done?
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
Yes, Matthew 5:15.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Father Troy. You've put me on the right track.
I thought you were going to confession.
Inspector Mahan.
Dina, it's Paolo Baldi.
Hi.
Hi, listen, I've got some new information on the Professor Allen case.
I don't know that we need any more information. J.T. Brennan has been arrested for murder.
I heard.
And now you're going to tell me he didn't do it?
Yes.
Paolo, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, of course. Well, by the way, did you look at that copy of Acid Violets again, the one in Professor Allen's room?
No. Mary Matthews came in soon after I took your call. Anyway, it's all a bit irrelevant now, isn't it?
Well, it's more relevant than ever, Tina. Look, if you let me go with you to Professor Allen's room, I can prove that J.T. Brennan didn't murder him.
Professor Allen's room is still a crime scene. It's sealed off. Members of the public are not allowed inside. Why don't you think J.T. Brennan did it? Signs pointing the wrong way, were there?
Yes.
Paolo, we've got an arrest. Superintendent Wren is over the moon. Uh-huh. If you want to unpick this case, you're going to need more than a sign. You're going to need hard evidence, like the evidence we have, that J.T. Brennan did take Professor Allen's lecture.
Even though he denies it?
Yes, even though How did you know he denied it?
Because he never had it. If you would let me inside that room, Tina, I would be able to prove to you who really killed the professor.
Would you? No, I'm sorry. It's out of the question.
There we are. Everything left exactly as it was on the night of the murder.
Yes, including two relevant signs.
Both in books?
Exactly. One is in the copy of Acid Violet, and the other is in a book that isn't here.
What?
You remember I mentioned the Sherlock Holmes thing about the dog that barked in the night?
Yes, or rather didn't bark in the night. Something that should have been there wasn't there.
Exactly. It was just the same in this case. A book that should be here isn't here.
And what's in the book?
I don't know yet.
Well, that's a fat lot of good, isn't it?
Don't worry. The university library is tracking it down from another source. The contents will be emailed to Dublin by the end of the day. Anyway, the other book actually is here. See? Acid Violets. May I touch it?
All right. If you put on these rubber gloves.
Of course.
I've read the dedication. Unless there's something there in code, I don't see how it exonerates J.T. Brennan. I've read the poems, too.
Well, in fact, Tina, you did exactly what I told you to.
Yes.
But not what I meant you to.
Oh, this sounds terribly like one of your semiotics.
I'm afraid it is. Last time we were in this room, you asked me if there was something relevant in one of these books on the desk.
And you told me there was.
Yes, but, see, often meaning slips between words. You see, I spoke of something relevant in one of the books. You thought I meant what was printed in the books, whereas in fact what I was talking about was this, which Professor Allen was using as a bookmark.
It's just an envelope.
But all these other bookmarks were old, used envelopes. This one looked new and, as I suspected, so he hadn't been sealed. That's what I noticed the night he died. Look who the envelope's addressed to.
As well as two of the trustees, myself, Mary Matthews, and Dr. Graham from Dublin University, J.T. Brennan being unfortunately unable to join us. We also welcome Dr. Trent, representing the University Literature Department.
One of the departments which will benefit from the sale of the Jack Matthews Archive.
Of course. Now, our main dilemma, and the reason for calling this extraordinary meeting, arises from the discovery of the text of the lecture which Professor Daniel Allen had written, but was prevented from delivering. The lecturer makes a series of unsubstantiated allegations about my grandfather, and I feel we should immediately vote on Dr. Graham's excellent suggestion that the text of Professor Allen's Jack Matthews Memorial Lecture be put on file at the university.
Yes, I think that would be the sensible course. The university has long been famed for its ability to mislay inconvenient documentation.
And that was it, Paolo. The whited sepulchre just got another coat of paint. The image of Jack Matthews will remain untarnished.
So, as usual, ethics gave way to expediency.
Dr. Graham was never going to risk losing the St. Ignatius dollars, was he?
No. I appreciate you coming here, Philip, to tell me what happened.
No problem. I found your message on my desk.
So Jack Matthews remains a secular saint. And J.T. Brennan remains under arrest of Professor Allen's murder. As a lover of whodunits, Philip, don't you find that a rather unsatisfactory solution?
Only because it's obvious. And I'm afraid in the real world, the obvious is very often correct.
But suppose for a moment J.T. Brennan wasn't the murderer.
Who else could it be?
Mary Matthews was the last person to see Professor Allen alive.
Well, that's true, she did. And of course her home was at risk if the archive sale didn't go through.
The police only have her word that she found the missing lecture where she said she did.
You mean she could have planted it in her own dustbin?
Exactly. I think we're getting very near the truth, Philip.
Yes. I mean, would it be enough to convict a murderer, though? I mean, all circumstantial stuff, no hard facts.
But if a suspect revealed some detail that wasn't common knowledge, I mean, told us something that only the murderer could know, I mean, would that produce a hard enough fact?
Well, that'd do it. I mean, well, what kind of a fact had you in mind in Mary Matthews' case?
Well, say that the fact that she found the lecture in her dustbin.
But of course she'd know that, because... Ah. Fallen for the oldest trick in the book, haven't I? What put you on to me, Paolo?
You hid your light under a bushel.
What?
When we went upstairs to find Professor Allen's body, when your mind was presumably racing, working out how you could make it appear that the lecture was the reason for the murder, you told me you knew very little about Jack Matthews. I suppose you were trying to put me off the scent. And yet, in the Proceedings of Oxford Literary Society 1992-3, there is a paper on feminine endings in the patriotic verses of Jack Matthews by one Dr. Philip Trent. Academics don't keep quiet about their publications, Philip.
No.
Unless they have a reason for doing so, and your reason was to put me off the scent, which was why you removed the book from Professor Allen's room, why you denied knowing anything about Jack Matthews, even though you showed a surprisingly close acquaintance with minor works like Podrick's Dream. And then there was the reference. If the warden of all souls had ever received the reference Professor Allen wrote about you, I don't think you'd have got your research fellowship, would you?
But what he wrote wasn't true. It was just mean and vicious. He was jealous of my intellect, of the chances I had ahead of me.
I know, I'm sure that's the case. But if the reference had ever been posted, you wouldn't have got the job, which was the reason why you had to kill the professor.
Oldest.
The envelope Professor Allen had addressed to the Warden of All Souls was in the copy of Acid Violets on his desk. You presumably removed the reference itself after you'd killed him, and also took the Jack Matthews Memorial Lecture, whose contents you partly knew, so that suspicion would fall on one of the trustees. You have to lecture all the time. Even when you and I found Professor Allen's body, you were carrying both the lecture and the reference. You killed Professor Allen. Philip.
All right. I did. But you'll never get me to admit it in court. And I really don't think you would have had the foresight or the deviousness to be carrying a tape recorder at this moment. You don't have any of those hard facts we were talking about, Paolo. So, in the absence of other witnesses...
What about in the presence of other witnesses, Dr. Trent?
Get away with it, you know!
You don't seem in much of a hurry to apprehend your culprit, Inspector.
Superintendent Wren is lurking without somewhere. Why should I deny him the pleasure of making an arrest? Thank you, Paolo. That worked beautifully. And your cupboard's not as uncomfortable as you said it was. It's funny. Trent didn't look the type, did he?
No, perhaps not. But then, as any semioticist would agree, we can't judge a book by looking at its cover.
No, you can't.
Don't worry about it, Dr. Baldy. I'm delighted to see you.
Well, I thought you'd like to know that the details of your relationship with Jack Matthews have been politely suppressed.
Thank you. And that's not something you could have told me on the telephone?
Well, I...
Hmm?
Oh, I just needed to get out of Dublin for a while.
Why?
Well, to clarify some things in my head.
Sex.
What makes you think that?
It usually is.
Well, in this case, it's not just sex. There are a whole lot of other... confusions.
It's my belief that to have a perfect relationship of physical love, of however short a duration, is what we were put on the earth to achieve.
Well, not all of us, Vivian.
Well, it seems to me a terrible waste for those who are not. But then I speak as one who, from an early age, has been particularly blessed in that department.
And has the letter to prove it.
Yes. You know, the whole business with that odious Professor Allen, it's made me come to a decision.
So what decision?
Could you pass me those letters on the dresser there?
Well, these are the ones from Jack Matthews, aren't they?
Yes. And there they go. Bye-bye, Jack. Nothing like a nice open fire, is there, Dr. Baldy?
No, there isn't.
Or a nice, fulfilled body.
Maybe.
In Keepers of the Flame by Simon Brett, the part of Paolo Baldy was played by David Threlfall, and Tina by Tina Kelleher. Father Troy by T.P. McKenna. Dr. Graham, Gerard McSorley. Superintendent Wren, Owen Rowe. And Mrs. Reed by Margaret Darcy. Philip Trent was played by Malcolm Douglas. Mary Matthews, Noel Brown. Professor Bryden, Pat Laffan. J.T. Brennan, John Hewitt. And Vivian Luscombe by Kevin Flood. Maureen was played by Alice Barry. And the Garda by Jim Fox. Baldy was created by Barry Devlin for Sarah Lawson Productions and was developed and produced by BBC Northern Ireland. Baldy was directed in Belfast by Lawrence Jackson.